Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Grab your pitchfork, light your torch, and get ready for inciting a riot. Conventional thinking has been warned. We're gonna gather, and we're gonna march, and we're gonna blow its f***ing house down.
Hello, rioters, and welcome back to Inciting a Riot, the podcast. I would be your left-wing, dirt-worshipping host, Firelight. Today, we are inciting Mickey Mueller's riot. I am so excited to chat, finally, with somebody who I have admired for years. She's one of the most prolific people in the pagan community. She is an illustrator. She's an author. She does everything. She's an amazing artist. Her Etsy shop puts mind shame. she's brilliant. She's wonderful. And she's got a brand new book out that is the most darling thing in the whole wide world, called Llewellyn's Little Book of Halloween. Mickey Mueller, welcome to Inciting a Riot.
Hi, Firelight. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad that we were able to sit down and do this. So, straight off, tell me, how is your October shaping up?
Oh, this has been the busiest October that I can remember from forever. It's wild. I've got tons of book signings, and our Etsy store is going like, ooh, blowing up. We're having a hard time keeping the book in stock, but that's a happy problem.
It is a happy problem. And I just, first of all, congratulations on the book, because it is...
Thank you so much.
It is, you know, I have to say, there is something about a tiny book about magic that I just love. Like, just a book that fits in your hand. And the Llewellyn's Little Book of Halloween is that perfect little book. And I fell in love with little books like this about magic ever since I saw Bedknobs and Broomsticks. And when I got my box in the mail with the book inside it, and I opened it up and I saw that it was palm-sized, I about died, because the very first thing in my mind was, I feel like Angela Lansbury and I want to turn somebody into a rabbit. I love it. It's perfect.
Thank you. Yeah, I honestly, writing it was so much fun, but when I got the books in my hand, I couldn't believe it too. I was like, oh, I just love to hold this book. I love the texture of it. I love the way it feels. I love the little curved corners.
Yes!
It's everything I could have hoped for, honestly.
I am all about sort of a real witch's guide to the holidays. I'm all about any book that's like that. But there's just something so tactilely satisfying about this book. I love it.
Thank you.
Okay, so it's not like other books about Halloween, the real history of Halloween, how to celebrate Halloween, aren't written. What made you want to pick up your pen and write your own take on Halloween?
Well, Halloween is a really personal holiday for me, as probably you can read from the book. I'm one of those, how do I explain this? In July, I start having horrible nightmares that it's Halloween and I'm not prepared.
I love what you say in your book about how your family told you that what Mickey would love most for Christmas is another Halloween.
It's true. It's totally true. They always said that, and they pretty much. It was from a very young age. I mean, when by the time I was done trick or treating, Halloween was my holiday, and they were like, whatever you want to do, I guess. You know, if I wanted to, you know, make ghosts and hang them from the trees, or, you know, jump out from behind a bush and scare people, they were like, okay with it. They were like, whatever you want to do, Mickey, it's all you. So they put up with a lot.
It's so much fun. So what does Halloween mean to you? I mean, I know that you love it a lot, but what is it about Halloween specifically?
Right. Well, you know, from a very, very young age, when I was just a little trick-or-treater, it seemed like magic to me. It was probably Halloween for me was my introduction to the whole concept of magic. And I think that a lot of people who are now practicing witches and pagans feel that way too. You know, I think I could sense that thin veil happening before I knew what was happening, if that makes sense. Before I had a name to put to it, I didn't really know what to say about that, but that's kind of the way it was for me. And then, you know, as I got older, I just really embraced not just the magic of it, but the concepts of, you know, being somebody that you're not all the time, being able to, you know, experiment with who you are and experiment with the concepts of fear. I mean, I was a kid that had horrible nightmares and night terrors when I was a little kid. So to be able to face those things and overcome them was super powerful for me. I had to learn how to wake myself up in a dream and realize and fight those monsters in that aspect. So to do that during Halloween time was amazing to me. And then the idea of sharing that kind of scary fun with other people was really intriguing to me. That was something that appealed to me from a very young age. So, you know, the idea of, I don't know, the escapism of horror movies and the escapism of costume and all of that. It's just like everything all bundled up into one. Plus Halloween, as I realized yesterday when my son and I were decorating, is a super artistic holiday. Let's face it. It's all about like DIY stuff. And it's very creative. We recreate ourselves and we recreate our surroundings to be something that they're not any other time of the year.
Absolutely. And that's one of my favorite things about it as well, is that it truly gives us a time to just be big and bold and magical and weird. And I love that sort of invitation that it gives to pagans and witchy-minded folks and to people that aren't in our community to sort of dabble in that spiritual extra. And I love that.
Absolutely.
Your book sort of is that lovely toe line of, and has this lovely through line of balancing itself for, you know, the average person who might be strolling through the Barnes & Noble Halloween display, where I'm sure this book is going to be all over it, because it's perfect for that exact kind of thing, that just casual stroller of, oh, you know, oh, the real history of Halloween. I mean, how many of us came to paganism because of a real history of Halloween book?
Totally.
Absolutely. But it also has enough in here that people that have been in our community for years, decades, can get something new, fresh, or at least get excited about Halloween. Was it important to you to make this accessible to non-existing community members? I mean, to casual folks?
Definitely. It was something that was really conscious in my mind the whole time I was writing it. It's hard for me to ever leave my perspective as a witch. I've been doing this for 20 years. But you know what? I care about people that aren't necessarily on that path. And Halloween speaks to all of us. So, you know, and I think that because it was such a gateway for a lot of us, that I feel like it was really important to make this a good crossover book, so that you don't have to be a witch to enjoy it. Most certainly. And on another aspect, I wanted to introduce a little bit of aspects of the whole idea of outreach, you know, community outreach, to let people know, no, witches really are real. We're not scary people. We're just normal people. We work at the bank. You know, I know witches who are lawyers. I know witches who are business owners, and firefighters, and police officers, and everybody. You know, we're just people. But, you know, so I felt like it was also an opportunity to kind of do a little bit of that too. But yeah, it's so magical for all of us, and not just for the people who are actually practicing magic, but for mundane people as well, for everyday Joe. You know, everyday people. They still find the magic in Halloween. And a lot of people experiment with like divination and stuff like that during Halloween when they, you know, really wouldn't any other time of the year. So why not kind of, I feel like, bring that into it.
And who would have ever thought in 2018 in the pagan community that would be such a bold stance to take, is this whole, oh, sure, let's invite non-pagans into the witchy circle. I mean, that seems to all of a sudden be this very bold hot take. I mean,
it's weird, right? But I'm not going to be a gatekeeper.
It's so weird to me. I'm like, I see you people posting your charmed memes and your Buffy and all your stuff. Why are we doing this gatekeeping thing in 2018? What's that all about?
Yeah, I'm over it.
Very much so.
What if people treated us like that when we were witchlings, right? You know,
I'm like, I've said this, I don't know how many times. I remember the Silver Raven Wolf box kits. I remember the Wiccan Power Rangers. I remember all of that. I mean, that was not that long ago.
Scooby-Doo. They had a Scooby-Doo episode with a Wiccan on it.
Right.
Very
right.
Rare. But that happened.
So something that I love about your book is that it marries sort of the traditions that we all know, jack-o'-lanterns and, you know, just those fun little traditions of Halloween with their historical roots, you know, jack-o'-lanterns being a pumpkin, but also a turnip. you know, what is your favorite piece of sort of that old world Halloween folklore that you were sort of excited to bring into the little book of Halloween?
That was actually one of them. I gotta be honest, the first time I carved a turnip, I was like, oh, this is so badass. those turnip jack-o'-lanterns are so much creepier than a pumpkin, and I'm keeping my eyes peeled right now for as many of the big, big turnips that I can find at the store. I'm grabbing them every time I see, oh, there's a big one, and I throw it in my cart. Because, yeah, I want to do a whole bunch of them this year. One of the other ones, which I thought was kind of neat, was the black cat one. Because we, you know, people think of black cats as being, oh, you know, it's a superstition. Don't let them cross your path. And I love cats, and it's like, first of all, don't be all like that about the black cats, you know. But I thought the folklore that I found out about the black cats being associated with Halloween was fascinating, because it does go all the way back to, you know, the old practices of the fairy fates. Because a black cat, when you would see one, would be considered a catchy, which was a cat fairy kind of spirit. And of course, we're talking about fairies. And Celtic tradition, we're not talking about, you know, a light and shining fairies that grant wishes. We're talking about big, scary fairies that will, like, take you to their land and you won't come back until all your family's dead. They were serious nature spirits. But the neat thing about that was, you know, while people today want to be like, you know, oh, you know, black cats are bad luck or, you know, bad things and stuff. But the truth is, you know, that folklore goes back to the idea of cats possibly, you know, being changelings and things like this. And then the tradition that I love, that you can actually, and this is an old Irish tradition, that if you leave a dish of cream or dish of milk out on Halloween night or Samhain night, the spirit of the cat, she comes by and appreciates that gift. And then you have good luck for the upcoming year. So it kind of takes that whole concept of the black cats and bad luck and turns it on its ear, which I love.
I love it too. I have a question about carving a turnip because I've never done it before, but after reading your book, I really want to.
Yeah, totally.
Like, is it hard? Because they seem really hard to like carve and hollow out and stick a candle in and all that. Like, this seems difficult.
It is a little bit hard, but we have better tools today than they did back then. Honestly, when the Irish tradition of the jack-o'-lantern came to America and they found pumpkins, they were like, oh, this is so much easier. The darn thing's already hollow. Forget the turnips. We're going with the pumpkins, which makes sense if you've ever tried to carve a turnip, but it's so cool that it's worth it. And here was what I found out in doing my research, because I was like, I so want to do this. And I kind of wanted to do it old school, the way that they would have back in the day. But there's this old illustration, and I should know the name of the artist. It goes way back. This little kid, he's sitting, like, looks like in a barn. He's surrounded by turnips, and he's carving these turnips, and he's got like a big old sharp knife, and he's like digging away at the thing. And it's like, yeah, that doesn't seem like a good idea for him. And it certainly doesn't for me, because I'm likely to really hurt myself. So I decided, instead of going the traditional route and trying to dig away at it with a sharp knife and a spoon, which is nuts, what I found, the best method for doing it is you just literally hack the top off, just straight. Don't try to carve it in the way we do a pumpkin. Just hack the top straight off, hack the bottom so that you got a nice flat bottom. And then you use a melon baller. Easy peasy, you know. You just dig away at it a melon baller. Now, it's a little bit harder than doing a melon, but you can do it. So you just dig away at it with that melon baller, and that's the quickest way that I found. Once you got it hollow, you can literally use the tools from a pumpkin carving kit to carve it just the way you would a pumpkin. It's hollowing it. It's a big pain in the butt.
I may use an electric drill.
Also, yeah. And you know what? I don't throw those little inside pieces from the turnips. I know, right? It's so dangerous. I don't throw them away. Put them in a Ziploc bag and just chuck them in the freezer. And the next time you make soup, throw them in there, because then you're not wasting anything.
You're so practical.
And I feel like it's extra magic. I just don't like waste.
I love it.
I'm an artist, and that means we don't have a lot of money. I spent a lot of years doing show jobs and, you know, bartending and waiting tables and working in a photo lab. So I'm super practical when it comes to stuff like that. I don't like waste.
You know what else I love is you seem like the kind of witch that I know. I don't know where all of these other pagan people online are. You know, they've got their own dedicated like pagan cauldron, and it's slowly simmering on some fire somewhere, and they only ever use ingredients that they specifically like cultivated to put in the pagan cauldron. And I don't know where these people live. Yeah. I don't have that money, and I don't have that time. What I love is that you're like, oh yeah, use a slow cooker.
Yep, totally. But that's it. That's my life too. I don't have the dedicated space. I have dedicated space for my, studio, which is actually amazing. And I haven't always even had that. There were a lot of years where I was literally, I mean, when I did the well-worn path and the hidden path, I had like a 6-foot space in my living room. It probably was by 6 square. My art table was crammed in there, and everybody had to look at me working because it was like right there, and my mess was everywhere. So yeah, I'm the same way. I don't have the space for it, but you know what? I mean, when I'm doing my thing, when I'm breaking out the spell work, I'm not afraid to use what I have around the house. I'm very much a kitchen witch in that sense. I crack open my books, I dig through, and I'm like, all right, I don't have that, I don't have that, but what else corresponds? What's the purpose of using that for the spell? And what can I find that's the same correspondence? And that's what I'm going to use. And you know what? If it's in my kitchen, I'll grab it and use it. If it's in my yard, because there's a lot of what some people call weeds, what we call wildflowers and herbs, that literally, literally grow in our yard. So, you know, if I can find something that's close, that's out there, I'm going to grab it. You know, I'm all about practicality.
Oh, same. And that's why I just adored reading your book, because I was like, oh, I can do all this and I don't have to go buy crap. I can do all this.
Totally right. Totally right.
I love it.
I do love my stuff that I don't always have around the house. Like, you know, well, I always have it around my house, you know, like dragon's blood, and, you know, real resin and stuff like that. I mean, there's a lot of those witchy things that I love. And if I want to crank out a big fancy altar with all the accoutrements, I can totally do that, but I don't have to, you know, And sometimes you're right. You don't have time.
Well, and I love what you say. You know, I can crack out the witchy altar if I want to. I mean, I've been doing this little challenge on social media, the hashtag witch kit challenge, and sort of showing
I
people.
love that.
Oh, thank you. sort of showing people that you can do the big grand pagan altar if you want on a budget, on pretty much any budget. The challenge itself is to get
Yes.
everything that you need for a basic pagan flavored altar for under $50 from one store that almost everybody has access to. There's a list of stores, a list of items to get, and you have to get everything under $50. And people are like, "Oh, this is fun." You know, I've seen so many pictures from all over the U.S. and a couple from abroad, and it's just been such fun seeing how people realize they can build the big altar, and that's fun and that's cool. But like, I work Monday through Friday, and I commute, and when I come home, like, the very last thing on my mind is, okay, I've got 2 hours before I really need to make sure that I get to bed. I need to, bust out every single last little candlestick that I can possibly find. And I need to do this giant ritual
Totally.
because it's the full moon. Whereas I'm like, I feel like the witches that I know, the pagans that I know, are like, oh yeah, I looked out at the moon and I, I had a glass of wine.
Yeah, exactly. It's totally true.
I that's
Yeah,
what I love.
I agree.
Yeah, that's what I love about this book, your writing, your work online, and keeping up with you on social media is that you just seem to sort of get what it's like to be a modern witchy person in 2018. And I love that about your work. It's so great.
Thank you so much. Thank you
Oh.
so much. That means a lot to me. It really does. I just try to be genuine, you know? I try to be that's my practice. That's how I do it. So, yeah, I just try to be that's who I am. And honestly, some of the most powerful spells that I've ever done was with just a minimal amount of stuff. It's what you bring to it, you know? It's what we have inside. That's what makes the magic. The other stuff is just window dressing.
Other things that
But
sort
it's
of
fun.
make Mickey Mueller magic is your art. And I wanted to speak to that because I dabble in art myself, and but you have such a body of work. I think people don't realize they probably already own something that you've done. You have been in
I do get
so
that sometimes.
do what?
I do get that sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, your art has been shown on how many TV shows now?
TV shows, which that was the most exciting thing. It came out of nowhere. It was the first one was The Magicians, which you could have blown me over with a feather. That was, oh my
I
gosh. I
love The
still can't believe that
Magicians.
happened.
And then you were also on what, The Witches of East End, I think?
Oh, that would have been cool. No, the mundane version of that, which is which is a Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce.
Oh, why did I think Witches of East End?
Yeah,
I'm a crazy person.
I don't know. That would have been cool. But yeah, no, they did an episode where they decided to have a goddess night, and
Right.
it was kind of sweet. And they and you know, they're ladies with a lot of money, and they had this big beautiful ritual that she had put together. And my statue of the triple goddess statue was on the fireplace mantle, and I was just like, oh. So, and these were both things I didn't seek out. They kind of sent me a message. They were like, hey, we'd like to use this. You know, will you sign the permission? I'm like, yeah. Kind of a dream come true.
But you just brought it up. You have done statuary. You have done art. You have done illustrations for. I couldn't quite pull a comprehensive list of every single witchy book out there that is secretly also a Mickey Mueller art vehicle. So many. I mean, Llewellyn's love affair with your art is pretty major. But you have done so much. But then your art in your own right is itself. I mean, I'm not going to speak for you, but I know that my art, when I do it, especially when I'm doing it in sort of, the mindset of reflecting a piece of my spiritual life or my practice or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's an extension of my practice. It's an extension of my spiritual self. Do you find that in your art? I mean, is it, I mean, you know, sometimes things are just cute, so don't let me assign anything to it. But, you know, how do you feel about your art and the creation of it?
Oh, yeah. And you totally nailed it, because I feel the same way about when I create my art that you do when you create your beautiful art, is that it's, it kind of evolves along with me spiritually. When, you know, when a deity speaks to me and says, yeah, it's time to do my portrait now, I dig deep into that deity. I dig deep into the research, but then, you know, the actual reading and everything that's involved in that, and doing the study, which is one important aspect of magic as well. But then the other thing that I do is I dig deep into that deity spiritually as well, by combining herbs in my watercolor washes. That's a thing that I do. I gather herbs together that correspond with whatever the subject matter is that I'm doing, and I make an infusion, and that is the water that I use for my watercolors. So I do that purposefully to bring the spirit into the work that I do. So yeah, it's all magic. It's all magic for me. And when I do that, I also, you know, I apply Reiki.
I'm stealing that. I'm completely stealing that. That's amazing.
Totally do. It's way fun. All you need is some hot water and a tea ball. It's the easiest thing in the world. And you can even put, sometimes I put gemstones into my water, or just have it nearby.
How have I never thought of this?
I get right into it. Even so far as to sometimes I'll burn incense that corresponds, you know, with that deity, or even play music or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it's really an important part of what I do magically. And by the time I finish a piece, you know, if I'm drawing the Morrigan, by the time I finish drawing the Morrigan, she lives, you know, in part of me, because we have made that connection through the art. So it's kind of cool. And I do that with the intention, with the magical intention, that will carry forward in all of the copies of the art too. So, you know, if you end up with a print, or if you just see it online and appreciate it, that connection's still there, that connection to deity, because it's all about the magic, you know.
It is. And I mean, you have just, you know, you've sort of blown my mind right now, so thank you for that. But steal that little tip, use that in my practice, and pretend like I'm not going to give you credit either. I'm going to steal it.
Feel free. It's totally fine. I believe that.
And nobody will ever know, because this is just a conversation between you and me that nobody is ever going to hear. So, I mean, it's not like anybody else is hearing me in their minivan right now with their kids in the backseat or anything. No,
that's right.
It's just a little private conversation.
Yeah, it's just us.
What do you do for Halloween? Like, what is your, you know, it's October 31st. You wake up, what is Halloween in Mickey Mueller's household?
Oh, it's magical. And I want to tell you that it's like this great, perfect picture of what people want to think that my Halloween is. But honestly, it varies. I have to be honest. I'm going to be real with you. It varies from year to year. It depends on what I have going on. Also, it depends on the day of the week that Halloween falls on, right? You know?
Yeah, this year sucks.
This year, sure, it's like, wah, wah, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But, you know, here's what I normally do. I have, by October 31st, normally I've got the lion's share of my decorations are out. There's a lot of stuff I do that day though, because I add a lot of aspects to my decorating that's, you know, could be damaged by the weather if I leave it out all year. I want to leave it out all year if I leave it out for the whole month. So I kind of, it kind of grows incrementally during the month of October, what is where. But usually I end up on Halloween having a open house at my house. I do, you know, big pot of chili. I do the soup that I talk about in the book. That is literally from what I prepare. I always do that. I usually have cupcakes, but for when I started writing, and I do like cool decorative cupcakes with like a knife stabbed into it and the little blood trickling down, or eyeballs, or something grim. One year I had a whole medical looking tray where I had like jello organs. That was kind of gross, But yeah, usually I have an open house, and everybody knows if they're out running to one party to another, my friends, they can pop by my house and visit and have a bowl of chili and have a drink and then go on to the next thing. People, our family members would come by with the kids and they would run trick-or-treating around our house. We have the yard totally just all spooked up, and, the kids come around to trick-or-treat. We make sure that we scare the older ones just a little bit, the little kids, if they're down by the curb, we have somebody always who's not in costume who can run candy down to them, because, I want them to have fun. I don't want to, cause psychological harm. So, and I want everybody to get a treat. So that's important to me. But honestly, there's some years where I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh, it's Halloween and none of my pumpkins are carved, and I don't even know what I'm going to be, but I have to have a costume. So that nightmare that I had in July has come to fruition. The thing is, I always pull it together at the last minute. That's my whole thing. So, sometimes my pumpkins look amazing. Sometimes they're like, it's just a really random pumpkin face, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be perfect for Halloween to be great for me. Since I moved, I'm living in a small town right now, and I didn't really have a lot of people I knew around here. So last year's Halloween, my son had his friends over, and I really didn't have anybody over. This year, I think we're flipping it, and I'm having some people over. I just told some people locally that I've met this year. I'm like, come by. We're doing an open house. And so I kind of feel like I'm back to that end of the cycle. It'll be fun. But I've got a couple great Halloween dresses that I bought for book signing. So it's going to be literally, my costume is going to be that, plus probably some crazy, crazy face paint, which I haven't decided and landed on an idea yet, but we'll see. We'll see what it ends up being.
are you a scary horror movie, slasher Halloween person, or are you a Hocus Pocus Disney fairy tales and glitter Halloween? Because I feel like you're one of those. And you're not the other.
You know what? I kind of might lean more towards the horror aspect of it, but there are a few of the glittery fun parts too. I kind of like to walk between the worlds on those things. But yeah, I definitely lean more towards the horror stuff, just because, I mean, when I was a little kid, I was racing home every Wednesday afternoon to watch, and I'm not kidding, this is how they introduced it. Horror, 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 theater, theater, theater. And then you'd hear the lightning crash, and they would have the different old school, horror movies on. And I just lived for that. That was every Wednesday I'd run home, because that was going to be on TV. And oh my gosh, TV, remember that? So yeah. Yeah, I lean towards the horror stuff for sure. But you know what? I'm not, and I guess there was a time in my life where I was into the, like Friday the 13th movies and the Michael Myers movies and those things. And actually, I'm excited to see the new one coming out this year. But that being said, I don't super gravitate towards the slasher stuff as much anymore. I like, I kind of like my horror to have like lots of story and maybe, not just gratuitous violence and stuff in it. I guess when you become a mom, that kind of changes, on some levels, because the visceral stuff kind of makes you go, because then you're worrying about your kids all the time. So it makes you feel differently about those things.
See, I grew up in a house, we loved Halloween, but my mother and father's version of love for Halloween is they will Google every scary hayride, every haunted house, all of that. They want to go to all the slasher jump scare stuff. They want to watch the scariest movies. And that was their version of a fun Halloween, was to scare their 7-year-olds shitless. And my version of Halloween is like, I would like to watch Hocus Pocus 7 times. I'd like to watch all 3 Halloween movies. I want to watch, you know, I'm a cutesy Disney glitter Halloween, and I don't apologize for it.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. And do not apologize for that. Do not apologize for that. One of my favorites, I feel like, that walks the lines is Nightmare Before Christmas. That's kind of like right in between, right?
So I always do Nightmare Before Christmas like the day after Halloween. Like, I feel like it's my allowance to sort of continue Halloween into the Yuletide season, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
I always sort of let, you know, and then you get to start now that there's so many, like, you know, oh, we can make Christmas into spooky old world stuff now. So now we've got some Krampus movies and we've got, you know, some fun TV specials to watch that are more traditional, how, you know, traditional Christmas, Yuletide, old world stuff. So, I get to kind of continue Halloween into Christmas and feel like I get 3 months of Halloween.
I feel that way about Krampus. I'm so delighted that it's really taken hold in our modern culture because I kind of feel like that's fun. It kind of lets us keep that spooky spirit going. You know, I had a funny conversation with my daughter Brittany, who's a vintage fashionista, and we had this funny concept about Nightmare Before Christmas, and I said, "Gosh, you know, it never occurred to me, but if I would just decorate for Halloween, decorate my whole yard in a Nightmare Before Christmas theme, I could just leave it up until New Year's, right?"
I'm all about it. Do it.
Right?
Do it.
I have to rethink this whole thing because that would be, oh, that'd be perfect. It's our busiest time of the year, you know, at our house. It's crazy because we just get inundated with orders. And now with the Halloween book, it's just going to be nonstop. So yeah, I'm thinking, boy, that'd be a great thing. I probably won't do it though. I have so much other stuff and I just collect, you know, every year more Halloween stuff. We just got a new guy this year. One of our hanging, creepy skeleton dudes bit the literal dust and was no longer acceptable to hang up. He just looked terrible. So we ended up going and getting a pumpkin headed guy. So he's our new family member this year. I usually wait till after Halloween though. I like to hit the sales, see what I can stock up. And there's family members who buy Halloween stuff for me after Halloween. And then they wrap it up and put it under the tree.
So Mickey, for folks that want to do Halloween quick, you know, on a budget, what is the one takeaway? You know, what are your quick tips for somebody that wants to do a little bit of Halloween, but maybe, you know, because it's in the middle of the week or they don't have a lot of time or they're busy, you know, what is your big takeaway from the little book of Halloween that somebody can use to make a magical Halloween on a quick shoestring budget?
Well, obviously, the easiest thing is just get you a couple of pumpkins, carve those up. I mean, they're not very expensive. I know I can pick them up for like $3 and some change around here, and you just need a couple. Another great thing is hit your closet and see what you have in there. We've put together some great last-minute costumes out of stuff we had in the closet. One year, my husband Dan, one of the best costumes, and he actually used it several years when we were tight on money. We didn't have any ideas. He just was the Crow, you know, Brendan Lee from The Crow. And that's so easy. Just all you need is black and white makeup and some electrical tape and black clothes. You know, it's not that hard. So, you know, come up with stuff that you can do with what you have around the house. It's so easy. You know, put on a pot of chili. That's all you really need. And, you know, and a couple little sweet treats around. You don't have to go too gangbusters. One of the things, believe it or not, it's a Martha Stewart thing. And I wanted to write about it, of course, in my book, but it's her thing. So I'm not going to do that. Are we still on?
We're good. We're here. Sorry, I clicked
the button. Okay, we're good. My screen changed and I wasn't certain if it had, and now it's doing a refresh thing. So I hope it's still on.
We're here. I clicked a dumb button.
Martha Stewart must have heard me.
No, Martha really Stewart cool does herself a Halloween. We love it.
She heard me. She was like, don't talk about my thing. No, I'm actually doing this today. It's a super easy decoration, and we've done it a ton of years. You take black trash bags, and you just cut them into strips, leave one strip at the top. And then if you pull those little bits, those little strips that you've cut apart, it creates this really weird, wiggly... Just look up Martha Stewart trash bag Halloween decoration, and I'm sure it will come up. But they're really cool, and you just make it makes these long, spooky-looking streamers that you can hang outside, and they just kind of... We've hung them inside. We've hung them in doorways, and it just adds, like, a huge, really cool ambiance for doing that. But, yeah, you can do it all. You know, this is what we have to remember, okay, is the first Halloween celebrations in America, they were all DIY. Nobody went to the store and bought headstones to put in their yard. Nobody spent, you know, hundreds of dollars on a big blow-up house. We used to scare the heck out of kids in my friend's neighborhood with literally a white sheet and a rope, and I'm not even kidding. Her sister came up with the idea. We threw the rope over the top, over a tree branch, and tied it to a white sheet, and we would bury it in the leaves, and we'd hide around the side of the house. And when the kids would start coming up to the house, you'd pull on that, and the whole thing would come up, and it looked like this ghost was coming up out of the leaves. And the kids would just scream and run. I mean, that was literally made with what was in the house. It was not a big expense at all. So it's just being creative.
Miss Mickey Mueller, where can people find Llewellyn's Little Book of Halloween?
Well, check on Amazon.com, check Llewellyn's website. Barnes & Noble, I looked this morning and they were sold out, but I think they'll be getting more back in stock. Definitely check your local bookstores, because if you can spend your money there, That's helping your community. So that's really important. Right now I have some on my Etsy store. It's NikkiMuellerStudio.etsy.com. The ones that we sell, I sign them for you and personalize it. And then we also include a really cool fabric bookmark and an ornament too, with a neat little creepy ghost on it.
So you've already said it. So where, and people can find your art at MickeyMuellerStudio.etsy.com. She does. I don't know how you do this. You do all this. You've got the mugs. You've got the banners for the yard. You've got everything, and you make it all yourself in your own house. How do you do this, Mickey? How do you do this?
It's crazy, right? I know. It's insane. So, well, years ago we started selling on Cafe Press. And my husband was like, we can do this ourselves, you know. And one year we took our income tax return and we bought all the equipment, and we've been doing it ever since. We have a special printer that prints dye instead of ink, and it prints out backwards. And we have a big heat press, and Dan makes all of this stuff. We get special dye sublimation blanks, and it's just we tape or use a special adhesive to put that paper on there. And when you apply heat and pressure, the dye just sublimates into the item. So, I mean, it's all like dishwasher safe. If you got a mug, you know, you can literally put that in the dishwasher. It's not a problem, or in the microwave. You know, we do purses and all that kind of stuff. And it's not like a sticker or something. It's actually embedded in the item. And we make it all here. It's a total mom and pop setup. we make it all, we package it all, we do it with love. It's all done with love, and it's pretty great. It's actually a neat life. It really is.
I love it, and it means that whenever somebody is buying something from your Etsy store, that they are literally, I mean, you know, the profits aren't going to Redbubble or Cafe Press or Zazzle or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, everything is going to support a pagan business, and I love that. You know, the pagan artist herself is getting supported, and anything that we can do to support good quality pagan art, I am all about. Mickey, thank you so much for spending time with me. I'm so glad that we got to do this. Oh my gosh, I almost forgot. We're doing a giveaway.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I almost forgot too.
We're doing a giveaway. you and I are doing ourselves a giveaway. You guys, rioter community at large, you can win some of the beautiful, beautiful art of Mickey Mueller. There are two prints that Mickey Mueller is giving away to the Riot audience. They are gorgeous. They're wonderful. They're amazing. There are two ways that you can win. One, if you are a Patreon supporter, you are automatically entered to win. Somebody from the Patreon supporting community is going to get to win, and they get first dibs because they give us money to run this show. So they get first dibs on which print they want. And then the other print that is not selected by the Patreon winner will be selected by somebody out there that is liking and sharing the post. You can go to facebook.com/incitingariotpodcast. I always forget my Facebook page. There's a post on the on the Facebook page that gives you all the rules for how you can win. You know, like, comment, share the post. There's other ways that you can get an entry. If you follow me on Twitter, if you, you know, give the show a 5-star rating, if you, I don't know, send smoke signals or something, that's not going to win.
Think positive thoughts.
think happy thoughts. But there's lots of ways that you can win. So one of the Patreon supporters will win, and then somebody from the Riot community at large will also win. So thank you guys so much for supporting the show. Mickey, thank you so much for being on the show.
thank you, Firelight. This was so much fun.
You are so much fun. Come back anytime. This was amazing. Rioters, if you want to read more about Mickey Mueller, all of her stuff, show notes are at incitingariot.com. Like, rate, subscribe to the show on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are streamed. Not sold, because they're free. You can become a Patreon supporter and give as little as a dollar an episode to help keep Pagan Media alive. It helps do fun things like record this cool interview with Mickey Mueller and helps with other costs for the show, keeping the show running, and you know, provides the means to do some fun giveaways and things like that in the future. Follow me on Twitter at Inciting a Riot. You can find the Facebook page. I'm Firelight. Lots of other ways. I'm forgetting all of them. But thank you so much, Mickey Mueller. Go get all of the Mickey Mueller things. Celebrate Halloween in the witchiest of ways with Llewellyn's Little Book of Halloween, which if you're a Patreon supporter, you're looking at right now. And it's just, it's the most darling book ever. Ever. It's so cute. You will want to turn people into rabbits. So thank you, Mickey Mueller. Thank you to anybody still listening to me rambling. I will leave you, but as always, I will leave you with love and light, Firelight.